Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
Are you looking to serve God and society? Consider putting your gifts to work as a lawyer. Ave Maria School of Law has been educating faith-filled lawyers for over 20 years. Ave Maria School of Law is committed to training lawyers to use law appropriately around the moral issues of our time. Visit avemarialaw.edu to learn more about integrating your faith with a law degree.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, HALO is here to help. HALO is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, HALO has something for everyone. HALO is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.holo.app/breadbox.
Peace be with you. I am Bruce Wozniak. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and lots of other platforms. Thanks so much for joining me for this and hopefully many other episodes. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net. You can listen there, but there are also links there to hear the show on all kinds of podcast listening apps. And there are links on the website to Catholic Sports Radio on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can send comments through the website. Plus, there is also a Facebook group called CSR Listeners. There's a button for that, too, on catholicsportsradio.net. I keep saying this every week, but I really do mean it. It's not just a formality. I do want your emails, your social media engagement, your feedback on the show, so I can ensure that I'm serving the body of Christ in a way that is strengthening your faith life. So always feel welcome to share your thoughts with me about this ministry of mine. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. I was watching an NFL game recently, and a player who thought he made a catch, they did a video review and determined that he did not make it after all. And the announcers, once they showed the player, said, "He's disappointed." And I wondered, is he disappointed in himself because he didn't catch it, or is he disappointed because he didn't get away with it? And that's the fine line that we have to walk, is with sin, we have to be disappointed in ourselves that we committed whatever sin we committed and not be disappointed that we got caught. In John's Gospel chapter 8, we hear, "Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in adultery and made her stand in the middle. They said to Jesus, 'Teacher, this woman was caught in the very act of committing adultery.' And then later Jesus says to her, 'Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore.'" Friends, let us rededicate ourselves to play by the rules and live in God's way. Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest is an offensive lineman at Minnesota State University Moorhead. Prior to that, he was a two-time All-State and two-time All-Conference selection with St. Mary's Central High School in Bismarck, North Dakota, a private Roman Catholic co-ed school where he also competed in boys varsity wrestling. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Sam Harris.
Hey, Bruce, how you doing? Thanks for having me on this week.
You bet, Sam. Thank you. Appreciate you making time for this. First things first, tell us about things in Moorhead, Minnesota, because it sounds like we will need to send prayers your way. I was looking at the football team section of the MSUM Dragons website, and when I clicked into the schedule portion, it listed 8 games, past, present, and upcoming, all as canceled. So has COVID-19 wiped out the season, Sam? And if so, have you prayerfully been able to make peace with it?
So COVID-19 did wipe out our season this year. They canceled in August, and there's no plans for a spring season or anything. It's just kind of let's keep practicing, let's keep lifting, and get ready for our season next year. I think this was probably the first time in my life where I haven't played football in the fall since I've been about 9 years old. Mm. And I can say this is probably the first part of my life where I would be okay with that.
Wow.
I decided that football, my whole life was my identity. And this last year, I realized that my identity isn't in football. And so it's been an interesting break, but it's allowed me to pursue a lot of other areas and work on myself outside of just football.
Nice, nice. And by the way, listeners, in case you didn't hear it last week, there still is time. We actually have a giveaway. So stay with me throughout this episode. And at the end of the interview with Sam Harris, I will give you the details about that before we do our closing prayer. 3 weeks ago on episode 90, we heard Jason Jones, who went from being an atheist to a very devout Catholic. Sam, you have been Catholic all your life, though.
Yeah, I have. I grew up, I was a cradle Catholic, and I was blessed to go to 12 years of Catholic education. And, so it's kind of just always been a part of my life.
So I did mention in the intro that you also wrestled in high school. Was that just a nice add-on, meaning has it always been your focus to pursue football as your main sport as long as you can?
Yeah, football's always been my thing. It's always been what I've loved. And my junior year of high school, I decided that basketball wasn't really for me. I wasn't really cut out for it, and I liked the work ethic that went into wrestling, and so I didn't have a heavyweight. I went out, and I made the most of it, so it was pretty fun.
Well, we've heard guests on this show look back on their time in their life when they transitioned to college and the temptations that surrounded them. Sam, you are living your college years right now. So as someone who had 12 years of Catholic education, was there an awareness when you went off to Minnesota State University Moorhead that, hey, Satan is really going to be ready and waiting? What was your mindset when you first headed off to college?
Yeah, it's a wild thing. So I got, like I said, was blessed with 12 years of Catholic school. But in that, the faith life almost becomes another subject. So you go from English to history to religion. And so it's scheduled into your day. It's just part of something you do every day. Not that it's not important. You understand it's important. But as soon as you get to college, it's completely on your own. You're completely responsible for how you input time into your faith life. And so that's where I see a lot of my friends, and that's where I kind of saw myself. It's easy to fall away or not be as invested as you were before. But knowing that, I think the most radical thing you can do as a college student, the most countercultural thing you can do as a college student is live out your faith. And so there's always hope that if you want to be a rebel, you got to live your faith in college.
So was it a case of, hey, it's nothing new, Bruce, like everybody knows that when you go to college, there's going to be temptation? Or did you actually sit and kind of spend time with the fact that, all right, this is going to be a totally new environment for me. I'm going to a public college. It's not a Catholic college. And I do have to kind of keep my values in check.
Yeah, no, I remember distinctly a conversation the spring of my senior year with my brother. We were talking about this the first time I'll be at a public institution, which I know for most people, that's crazy. But I was worried that I wouldn't be surrounded by like-minded people. I wouldn't be surrounded by solid Catholics. But I kind of looked at that as an opportunity to grow, as an opportunity to cement my faith. Whereas I was either going to, and it was scary because my senior year, my freshman year of college, senior year of high school, freshman year of college, I wasn't sure. I was either going to go with the way of the world, or I was going to use what I learned, and I was going to become even stronger in my faith. And luckily the latter happened.
You did mention a brother there. How many siblings do you have? Where do you fall among them in terms of youngest, oldest, middle, that kind of thing?
Yeah, so I am actually the youngest of three. My sister is 6 years older than me, and my brother is 8 years older.
And your parents, you said that you're a cradle Catholic. I'm sure that they obviously were both Catholic when you came into the world and made sure that you went through all the sacraments, being that you mentioned 12 years of Catholic education.
Yeah, they were both, they both grew up cradle Catholics as well, so it's just part of the family.
And where was this, being that so far all the audience has heard about is you're attending school in Minnesota?
Oh, yeah. So I grew up in Bismarck, North Dakota. And like you said, St. Mary Central High School is the name of the high school in town. And then Moorhead, Minnesota is right on the border between Minnesota and North Dakota, right next to Fargo up there.
Okay. So you were named to the 2019 NSIC All-Academic Team of Excellence. So clearly there's part of you that recognizes that being successful in the football field is great, but it's equally important to apply yourself as much in the classroom.
Yeah, I see success more as a holistic view. If you're not firing on all cylinders of intellectual, academic, and spiritual, as well as then physical and football, I think you're kind of missing out. I think the perspective of the human from the Catholic perspective is we're a whole person, so we should be striving for excellence in all areas of our life. And so that's something I've tried to carry over from my faith to football and also to academics.
Well, and God bless you for that, because obviously, as we just discussed a minute or two ago, you are at that critical point in your life where Satan is pushing so much peer pressure around you that the popular thing isn't to say, I got to put just as much into my academics. The popular thing is to puff your chest out and say, hey, I play on the football team. Look at me, and try to win popularity contests. And to your credit, you've completely turned your back on that.
Yeah, I don't not tell people I'm on the football team, but I know in the academic world, football players get a stereotype that I don't like. Mm. And so I don't lead off with that. I want them to know who I am as a person first and then a football player second.
So then does that stereotype that you just referred to motivate you to work harder in the classroom?
Yeah, I work harder in the classroom and socially. I think it's an undeserved stereotype that football players get. But I try to be as compassionate as I can to people and show them that I'm not just a jock. I'm a whole person.
But explain that a little further when you said, and socially too.
Yeah. So I think a lot of times if you're on a football team, or a lot of times if you're an athlete in college, people will kind of look at you and assume that you don't really care about the general population of the school, or they'll kind of assume that what football or what athletics has going on is more important than maybe what the school's got going on. And so I know me and a couple of my friends are pretty involved in the academic community here at MSUM. Mm. And we try to make it known that, yeah, we're football players and we care about that, but we also care about the school and we care about everybody else at the school too.
Outstanding. Outstanding. Listeners, as much as I'm sure you're gathering that Sam is another good poster boy, not only as a Catholic, but for the mix of faith and sports that I present every week on this show, he actually had what I will label as a wake-up call in his faith life, which I'm anxious for him to tell us about. But before I have him go into that, I do want to thank the latest donor, who, by the way, gave me permission to say her name on the air, which is Teresa Bistrom, who was very kind in making a contribution that I am truly, truly thankful for. Each week in the middle of the show, I remind you that this is my ministry, but that I'm also just one person doing it, booking all the guests, doing all the writing, recording, and editing of the shows, doing all the promotion and administrative work, and so on. And you hear me saying that I don't have any sponsors, nor do I draw any kind of income from doing this, so unfortunately, all the expenses have to come out of my own pocket. I've also tried to be transparent in sharing with you many of the costs that do come with operating Catholic Sports Radio. So I would be most grateful if, like Teresa Bistrom and others before her, you too would consider supporting me and my Catholic Sports Radio ministry. There is an extremely convenient and secure way to do that, which, by the way, is how Teresa made her contribution, which is through the Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net. Alternatively, you're more than welcome to just email me personally, and that's Bruce@CatholicSportsRadio.net. I will write you back and give you an address that you can mail a check to, which you've heard me say on past episodes that others have opted for instead. Regardless of which method you choose, the help is greatly appreciated and does sure help me with the various costs that I have cited over many episodes of this show. And as I've pointed out before, you can contribute in whatever amount you're comfortable with. There are no predetermined amounts to choose from or even a minimum donation. You put in whatever you want when you use the Donate to CSR button on CatholicSportsRadio.net. And if you wish, just like with Teresa Bistrom, I will even give you a public thank you on an upcoming episode of the show or on social media, or of course you can choose to remain anonymous. Do please pray about it. No contribution is too big and no contribution is too small. It all helps me with being able to continue on with this ministry and give back with my time and talent in an effort to move more people closer to Christ. Sam, go ahead and tell the story I was starting to allude to about your, as I labeled it, wake-up call in your faith life.
Yeah, so I think a lot of my faith, I was kind of known as the guy who was a good Catholic, as opposed to being the guy who actually was a good Catholic. Mm. And so I kind of woke up about a year ago, last Christmas, I went to a Focus. I don't know if you're familiar with Fellowship of Catholic University Students.
Yeah.
I went to a Focus conference, and I'd always gone to Adoration, and I've always known intellectually that the Eucharist was the body of Christ. And I've always understood transubstantiation. I've always understood John chapter 6. Intellectually, it made sense to me. But spiritually, I don't know. I didn't know if I believed it. I didn't know if I felt it. And so I realized that if I want to really live a life that isn't just being known as a Catholic, but rather has an identity as a Catholic, I had to grow close to the Eucharist. And so last year, I kind of had that wake-up call. And at this conference, I was going to Adoration. I was like, Jesus, let me see you in the Eucharist. And I get all excited, nothing. And I go to Adoration again. I said, Jesus, let me feel you in this Eucharist. I get all excited, nothing. And so finally, I was in Adoration. I was next to a friend of mine who I knew was struggling with some stuff. And I was like, you know, Jesus, I understand that maybe you're not ready for me to feel this in this, feel you in this way through Adoration or through the Eucharist yet. Mm-hmm. Allow me to try to live out your will. So I asked him to allow me to be comfortable being uncomfortable. And in that moment, mm-hmm. I'd never prayed over anyone in my life, but I decided that I'd ask my friend Holly. I said, hey, Holly, can I pray over you? And she said, yeah. And so I said a genuine prayer that I thought that maybe she needed. And all of a sudden, when I looked up, it was like a light switch. It was an absolute flood of emotion. And it was no longer an intellectual understanding of the Eucharist. It was no longer, I know that that's the body of Christ. It was, I believe that that's the body of Christ. I can feel in my heart that that's Jesus Christ on the altar. And so from that point on, it switched how I want to live. It switched how I believe in Catholicism. It switched from desiring to be the guy that's known as a Catholic to desiring to be the guy whose identity is Catholicism. And that switch came from the Eucharist. And so obviously over the last 6-7 months, it's been obviously striving. I'm continuing to grow. I'm continuing to cultivate a daily prayer life. But when you grow close to the Eucharist and when you try to build a devotion to the Eucharist, God does not disappoint. He continues to give you gifts in that effort.
Just beautiful. Just beautiful. Praise God. And Sam and I are actually talking on Zoom. Sam, tell the audience the smile that was coming over my face as you were sharing that story. I don't know why, but the only thing I can kind of compare it to is like a proud father watching his son or listening to his son tell a story. And it's just so great to hear victories, stories like that, victories for the kingdom, which again, in the audience, I want you to understand, Sam had not fallen from the church. So, you know, you did a good job there of painting the picture, but I also want you in the audience to understand that however far you are in your relationship with Christ, there's still closer that you can grow to him. And Sam's doing a great job of testifying to that. Sam, tell the audience about the role that you're in with your local parish.
So this year I got asked to be a youth minister. So I teach catechism classes on Wednesdays and Sundays, and we do a lot of other different activities and small group things throughout the week.
And who knows if that's what God had in store for you, but he had to have you go through what you just described for us first in order to prepare you to do that. And I'm sure you probably feel a lot more confident and comfortable doing that now, yes?
So as I mentioned, I continue to pray, help me be comfortable feeling uncomfortable. And mm-hmm. youth ministry provides a lot of opportunities for you to get up in front of kids, a lot of opportunities to be goofy and be very uncomfortable, to continue to try to minister to the youth and try to be there the best you can.
Well, similarly, share with us about the efforts that you're making on campus, faith-wise.
So we have a ministry called Moorhead Catholic Campus Ministries in the town of Moorhead. There's two colleges, and it's our only Catholic ministry. And I was asked last year to be a peer minister. And so we have Monday, Wednesday night masses, and we have Sunday masses. And then I've been trying to lead a Bible study. I've been trying to get guys to come over so we can talk about virtue. That's where I feel most called to try to serve. And I know you talk about your ministry, and you talk about Catholic Sports Radio, which was phenomenal. And I love it. And I love that you have a ministry, and I love that you're giving it all you can to God. And college ministry, I think, is where I feel I'm called to. I remember I was listening to a priest a couple weeks ago that he described the decisions you make in college and the people that you become in college cements who you are for the rest of your life. Mm. And I know you were talking earlier in this episode about some of that temptation. And so college ministry has a special place in my heart because I've seen the way the decisions I make can change my life, and I hope cement those decisions to change who I am the rest of my life. But I can also see in some of my friends the decisions that they're making that I hope don't cement in their life, and that I hope that they can find that reconversion. And so peer ministry and college ministry is probably what I'm most passionate about.
It sounds like it. I can tell by the way that you're sharing that with us. I wonder, do you have any rituals that you might be able to share that might be a good example for the audience to follow? I'm thinking about things like last week on episode 92, Coach Steve Steele talked about praying a rosary or Divine Mercy Chaplet while he works out. Or way back on episode 17, Bailey Landry, softball player, said that she would pray a Hail Mary to herself in the dugout before every at-bat. And way back on episode 9, former heavyweight boxer Joe Macy told of how he would put a scapular in his boots before every match. Anything that you do, maybe that can be kind of a teaching moment for someone that's, because I know that there's people in the audience who say, I want some practical ways that I can intersect my faith life with my sports life.
Yeah, so I found a couple ways, two ways that I try to do every day that intersect faith and sports, and more the suffering within sports and how I can offer that up. So when I'm, as most athletes do, they work out. Anytime I'm working out, I'm doing a hold of some sort, whether it's a lunge hold or a squat hold or a carry if I'm carrying a teammate for, you know, however many yards. Something I try to do is I try to pray Hail Marys during that, and then I try to offer up my suffering in that moment, whether it's a minute plank, whether it's carrying a teammate 50 yards, whatever it is, I try to offer up my suffering in that moment to someone who is on campus right now struggling with purity, because I know that's a big struggle in college. And so if I can maybe suffer a little bit in my workouts, maybe that redemptive suffering can help somebody who's struggling to make a pure decision on campus.
Outstanding. Was there a second one that you wanted to mention also?
The other one that I do is no matter how practice went, no matter how the game went, I always try to be grateful just for the fact that I got to play that day. So I thank God for obviously waking up and the sunshine and getting to put on my pads and go play. Even if I gave up 20 sacks, I still got to play football that day. Mm. So I try to have a grateful heart no matter how the game went.
I love it. And listeners, for those of you that aren't familiar with the Curcio movement, and perhaps you've read on the Catholic Sports Radio website about me, the about page of the website that talks about me personally and, of course, my faith life and my sports life, you know that I am a Curcioista, and I made my weekend in the last, I want to say, was that last year or the year before, in any event. So what Sam was describing, that sacrifice and offering that sacrifice to God, we call that palanca in the Curcio movement. So Sam, whether you know it or not, you are offering palanca the way that we do in the Curcio movement. So I love that example. That's really, really good. And that's something I'm going to make a note of in the future when people ask me about what can I do to intersect faith and sports. I think you're the first person that's offered something like that. So I like it. Last question I want to ask you is, I know that you are a history education major, but when are you scheduled to graduate? Because we're all going to want to know, when should we start our prayers for a path to the NFL for you?
I'm not sure the path to the NFL is a possibility. I don't even think it's in the will. But hopefully a path to getting to play two more years and rank as high on the all-conference, maybe all-American list as possible. But I actually graduate this semester, and then I'll be finishing up with grad school, so I get to play for two more years.
Ah, okay. Wonderful. Well, there's a silver lining there to COVID wiping out this season, so it's good to hear that you'll still get to play some more ball for a while yet.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. It'll be good.
Well, Sam, it's been great having you on the show. Thank you so much for making time for Catholic Sports Radio. God bless you.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me on. It's an honor.
Absolutely. So listeners, I said earlier that we have a giveaway. The National Catholic Coaches Association has donated a copy of their book called The Leadership Papers for me to give away. You've heard a couple guests from the NCCA on Catholic Sports Radio, including their president, Tim Triplett, who is also the head football coach at Holy Family Catholic High School in Minnesota. Now, this giveaway, we started this last Monday, November 2nd. Here's what we're going to do to give that away. Nominate a coach who you think should win a copy of this book by emailing me his or her name and just a few details about them. Submissions will be accepted through 12 noon Eastern time on November 17th. And that afternoon, a winner will be drawn, and then I will announce it on social media. So send those to me via bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. And now we will close with a player prayer, since we do have an athlete as the guest on this week's episode. And of course, as always, we will do it together in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God, let me play well, but fairly. Let competition make me strong, but never hostile. Forbid me to rejoice in the adversity of others. See me not when I am cheered, but when I bend to help my opponent up. If I know victory, allow me to be happy. If I am denied, keep me from envy. Remind me that sports are just games. Help me to learn something that matters once the game is over. And if through athletics I set an example, let it be a good one. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those. C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.
Finding someone on an online Catholic dating site shouldn't be like shopping for a blender. So why do most dating sites leave you feeling like you're shopping for a spouse? At Catholic Singles, we connect members through our unique user polls and activities, which help you discover other members and their personalities and interests. Because you're a person, not a profile picture. So stop shopping and start discerning. Trust your love story to the original Catholic dating site and use the promo code BREADBOX at checkout for 20% off at CatholicSingles.com.